Hello and welcome back to the Finding Your Feet podcast. This is a podcast that is dedicated to helping you live your best life.
Welcome back to the podcast, everyone. Today we are joined. We've got a guest in the studio with us. Oh my God.
Hi. Hey, guys.
We've got my best friend, Lacey French, here. And she's also friends with Abby, too.
We've been buzzing all morning, haven't we?
Yeah, because we've been recording a podcast by ourselves. And we were like, oh my God, it's going to be so good when Lacey gets here.
Yeah, I was so excited to come on. I'm already friends with so many of the listeners. And
there's there's
a few in my community already, so... It's just amazing. I feel like I'm finally joining the family that I was always supposed to be in. It just took you that long to invite me on.
So Lacey is like my best friend from school. We've been friends since we were like, how many years?
I swear we're 14.
I'm a bit younger.
So like it's 13, at least 14. Like 12, 13.
Yeah, like 12 years at least, friends, solid friends. Lacey is an online fitness coach. Mm-hmm. She trains women how to be the best versions of themselves.
I train both of you guys.
Yes.
You have. And you do. I mean, I've spoken about my experience on the podcast before, but it's literally, I've dipped in and out of fitness things for years, but nothing has been like working with you. Like, it was just so enjoyable.
Oh, that makes me so happy. And you've been enjoying your workouts too recently.
Yeah, I love them. You know, I always give you the feedback. Oh my God, you just killed me. I love it. But we've got Lacey on today because we're not interviewing her. She's part of the crew. She's one of all of us, everyone listening. We're all on the same vibes. And we're going to do an episode voicing our fears in our 20s. So, like, basically, I think we're all going to have individual answers about what these things are, but we're going to just, round table, throw it out, talk about what we're scared of, you know, like, not reaching our potential, loving ourselves, not finding love, whatever it is, and have a chat, and like hopefully it'll make you guys feel like less alone, more normal, maybe the things that you're worried about. That's the vibes.
Because I feel as well, when you voice a fear, you minimize it so much.
Yeah, you literally chop it in half.
Exactly. Mm. So that's what we're going to do today.
Yeah.
Spin bars, mate. Do you want a full-time job here?
A problem shared is a problem halved.
Yeah.
So who's going to kick it off with the fear?
I want you to, because you're our guest.
So what's the direct question? Like, what is a fear that I've had in my 20s?
Yeah, like, we're all 26. Mm-hmm. We're all girl bosses in this room.
We all have our own businesses.
Yeah, what are you scared of? Like, what are your fears in your 20s? What keeps you up at night?
It's definitely not reaching my potential. But for a long time, it was not finding my purpose. Like, I think when I finished uni, I still didn't really have a clue what I was going to do, what I wanted to do with my life. And my biggest fear was always wasting 10 years in the wrong job to realise that that wasn't what I wanted to do, or to get trapped into something that I didn't like. Because I only realised that I wanted to be a trainer, what was it, like, 3 years ago?
I remember when you said it to me.
Yeah. And as soon as I realised that, I had this sense of peace. I was like, finally, I know what I'm going to do with my life.
Yeah.
But my biggest fear was always never figuring that out.
Yeah.
And just always kind of aimlessly wandering through life without knowing what it was that I was supposed to be doing, or what would make me happier, what I was passionate about. But as soon as I realised that, I've had a lot more peace since then. And I know that everything I'm doing is just building on that one realisation that what I wanted to do was be a trainer and work in the health and fitness industry.
Mm. Yeah, I think actually one massive thing for you was to actually just give yourself permission to do what you actually wanted to do.
Yeah, because I was thinking, like, should I... Because I did psychology at degree level, which is, I find it... I love psychology. I'm super interested in it. But then I was like, right, I guess now do I do a master's? And they're so expensive and like nothing felt right. So I just kind of kept working in the restaurants, just kind of thinking the right thing would come up. And then I think one day I literally had the thought, what is the one thing that makes me happy? And it was like being in the gym. So I was like, I'm just going to do a self-taught course. And at the time I had no money, no savings. So it didn't make any sense for me to... splash out $3,000. I didn't even have $3,000. I just knew that I would pay it monthly, but I knew it was the right thing to do. And I think as soon as I said it to you, like, I'm thinking of doing this PT course, straight away you were like, yes, like, this is
so... because I just thought, fuck yeah, that's so you. Like, I could just see that you would be so happy doing that and like thrive in doing that.
Yeah,
and like, it's made sense.
You, who knows me better than anyone, you saw that that was the right thing way before like myself or anyone else did.
Yeah, Yeah, because I think that's a massive thing for people is like paranoid about what your purpose is, but then also actually giving yourself permission to even just go. Because so many people think that your career needs to be boring, and like, because it's a career and it's work, it can't be something you love and you enjoy. But actually, you can marry the two, and that's how you live like the happiest, like passionate life, is that you do put those two things together.
Yeah, for sure.
Because you want to be jumping out of bed every morning, and that's how you jump out of bed in the morning.
Mm-hmm. By doing what you actually love and are interested in, and what you would do even if you weren't being paid to do it. Mm-hmm. I think that's the key to being happy in your job, is doing something that you would do in your free time anyway.
Yeah.
Mm. So what would like your advice be for that younger version of you that was like, oh, I don't know what to do, I feel lost? Like, what would you say?
Definitely, like, to trust yourself. I had to ask the question of what is the only thing that's making me happy, because I wanted to know what I wanted to be clear on what it was that I wanted to do, and I was overwhelmed and worried that I was never going to figure that out. And then one day I had to like brutally ask myself, like, what is the thing that actually makes you happy? And it was exercising and going to the gym. And even though that seemed like a huge step back from psychology, master's, clinical, doctorate, it seemed like, you know, it seemed like a dumbed down version. Yeah. And even the person that I was with at the time just said, oh, I always saw you doing so much more than just showing people how to do exercises. But I knew that I was going to be happy.
Yeah.
And I even thought, even if I would make way less money, I would rather be happy.
Yeah, and actually you can make shite loads of money as a personal
trainer. And now I'm making
anyway.
More money than I would Wasn't be if I was jobs. Working.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you're not just showing people how to exercise. Yeah. You're literally changing lives.
So much, yeah. I had a lot of that at first. People are like, well, why did you study psychology at uni at degree level to just go and do a self-taught like course that you can do at college?
Yeah, I think like it's probably like the school thing as well, like, that I mean, like the sixth form that you went to that I got kicked out of.
It was very traditional.
Yeah,
academic.
They would never be encouraging of stuff like that. So it's kind of like, even when you're younger, you're like, your sort of views of what you can do with your life and stuff can be capped by the environment that you're in, because maybe they're not supportive or welcoming or like opening your mind and your ideas up to do all these other things. But actually in this life now, we've got the internet, like, if you aren't doing what you love, like, I don't know why you're not, because there's so much opportunity out there. Like, just go and make it happen for yourself.
Yeah, there's literally opportunity in whatever you wanted to do. Like, 10 years ago when we were in school and you enjoyed doing creative things and making stupid videos, like, people thought that was a stupid thing. And now there's an entire industry on content creation that never existed then.
Yeah.
So whatever it is that's actually fun and you enjoy, like, it's, you feel like that for a reason, and follow it and create your own 9-to-5 based on whatever it is that you actually love.
Yeah.
Like, there's people making a lot of money doing like crazy stuff that like didn't exist like 2 years ago.
Yeah. And let's talk about the self-belief that you had to get to get to where you are now as well. Because obviously 3 years ago you said to me, we sat out for dinner and you were like, oh, I think I'm going to do this PT course. And I was like, fuck yeah, like, that's so you, do it. Mm. Then you obviously did the course, went and got a job like working as a PT in like a gym, working for someone else. And then you've taken the leap to actually running your own online coaching business, training women online, having this community of women and coaching them to be the most confident, strong versions of themselves. But like, you had to go over a bit of a hump to get to that point where you were like,
yeah, hugely.
Right, I'm plunging into actually just taking the leap and like doing my own thing. Like, what kind of things, like, how did you talk yourself back down from, because you for a while you didn't have that belief, you weren't letting yourself do that. I always knew, like, I always, like, I'm just watching you waiting for you to do it. I always knew it was there, but obviously with everybody is on their journey and they flourish in the time they're meant to. Like, you did it at the perfect time for you. Mm-hmm. But like, what are some of the things that you feel like you did for somebody else that's like, I know what I want to do, but I'm full of self-doubt. Like, how did you peel back your self-doubt?
I think I never doubted that I would be a good coach. I knew because I loved health and I loved fitness, but I always doubted that I was clever enough to work for myself. And as a personal trainer, you're self-employed.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I think I got lucky. The first step that I took was like a salaried role, which is very rare. You don't often get a role that's paid as a personal trainer. Usually you have to go out and find your own clients.
Mm-hmm.
And so I kind of skipped it and did like the easy way for a little bit to build up my experience. And then it got to a point where I was either going to stay stuck at that salary forever or brave it and go on my own. And even when I did that, I was like, I've got no business skills. I'm rubbish at sales, I'm rubbish at marketing, I don't know how to talk to people, I know I'm a good PT, but the clients aren't just going to find me. Mm. So it was more, that was more about, that's more what I doubted myself, rather than the self-belief about whether I was good enough to help people.
Yeah.
So then that just came down to, like, getting help, like, with a business mentor and watching YouTube videos and just really putting myself out there and building up the case studies to have the confidence to now be able to...
Yeah.
Trust that I can work for myself and provide for myself.
Yeah, that's such a huge thing, outworking yourself out like mm-hmm. that. Alex Hormozier, whatever he's called, put this quote on, and it's like, confidence isn't shouting affirmations in the mirror. That's not how you build confidence. It's about outworking yourself, self-doubt. Yeah, so like going out there and taking the action and stacking up evidence to prove that you can do what you think you can't. And that's how you build your confidence, and you can just go full pelt at it. But like, that's scary to do that.
Yeah, I always knew the first client that I found and signed up for myself, I knew that that would be a huge thing, because as soon as she signed up, I was like, it is possible.
Yeah.
And from there, it just like snowballed. Mm-hmm. Like, if I can get one person to, if I can find one person, convince them to sign up to train with me, like, I can repeat that and do it again and again and again. I knew that as soon as I got that first one, it would break that mental limit, but it took months to get there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And how do you feel now, like, where you are now versus, like, maybe where you were when, you know, you weren't doing this and you weren't, like, fired up by your job? Like, how has it changed, like, improved your life? Like,
massively. Like, I think when you're doing what you love and when you're working for yourself, you're always working, but you're never working.
Yeah.
So you never switch off. You think about it all the time. You're always switched on. You're always at work, but you're never working, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Working to me means being somewhere, doing something that you don't want to do, but you're doing it because you need to get paid to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the freedom of not having to do anything, but you're waking up every day and choosing to do that because it's yours and it's your thing.
Mm.
And just the fact that no one can take that away from you. Like, you can get sacked like that. You're replaceable.
Well, you experienced that, didn't you?
Literally, yeah.
Before COVID.
Before COVID, I got sacked on the spot in what I thought was a safe and sensible job.
Yeah.
When it's your own business and it's your passion, no one can take that away from you. It's down to you whether you work hard enough to keep it up, but no one can sack you from your own when it's your business.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So there's a lot of... There's actually more security and more stability when you're creating that for yourself rather than just waking up every day and relying on the fact that someone else is going to employ you and pay you.
Yeah, I know. Because obviously, like, you know, you're getting when you're in a job, you know, you're getting a paycheck every month. It's coming in the same day every month. Like, but at the same time, you can just get let go. You can, like, I mean, even there's been all these like tech redundancies recently in like huge companies like Google and stuff like that. People just getting let go. Like, even massive companies that you think are safe, not everywhere is safe. Mm-hmm. So that's why I'm like, just take the plunge. Like, not being stupid. I mean, you were doing work related to fitness for other people alongside launching your business until you could go full time on that. Like, I'm not telling anybody here to do something really reckless and just quit their job and go and start a company. You build it up, like, go part time or like get a different job that gives you more work, like time to work on your other stuff. Like, but it's not safer to be.
It's not, like, because getting sacked from my safe job was what made me think, well, I might as well just do what I actually want to do. Because even this job that seemed safe and wasn't what I wanted to do in a sales position, I got made redundant one day completely out of the blue and was not expecting it at all. So I thought, well, if I'm going to go and find another job, I might as well do what I actually want to do because none of it is safe.
Yeah, exactly.
So if there is one thing that me, Grace and Lacey have in common, it is that we love a bit of therapy, don't we, guys?
We love it.
Therapy has literally changed our lives. And I think a lot of things actually we spoke about in this episode, therapy has helped us massively with. So if you're at the point where you feel like you want support, you want therapy, then we have the perfect company for you. Our podcast is sponsored by a company called BetterHelp, and they are a professional online counseling service. If you want support from BetterHelp, all you do is sign up with a questionnaire, tell them what you feel like you need support for, and they will match you with one of their thousands of therapists. Lacey, you've done BetterHelp, haven't you?
Yeah, I did it for a little while last year, around my birthday when I was going through that hard time, and it did really help because I wasn't in a place where I felt like I could show up to therapy, but having someone to chat to online, it really did help me to break down the thoughts that I was really struggling with at the time, so I definitely recommend it.
Yeah, it helped me so much on, like, one particular thing, mm-hmm. and that's what they do. They match you with the perfect therapist for you. You can send them text messages through the week. You can talk to them on voice call or video call, whatever you feel most comfortable with. And it's much more affordable than traditional offline counselling. So if you want to start your own journey with BetterHelp, you can head to betterhelp.com/findingyourfeet. That is betterhelp.com/findingyourfeet, and you'll get 10% off your first month of therapy. So I have one, but I'm going to share it a bit later. It's a little bit similar to that, but slightly different. But my other one that like just comes up in my head, like when everyone says, oh, what's your biggest fear in life? Well, actually, no. Sorry, I have two really big ones, and I'm not going to share that one first. I'm going to go down the love route first, because, you know, we all love a bit of love.
Mm-hmm.
I would definitely say, and not that I'm manifesting this, because, like, there's half of me, it's quite hard things like this, because half of me is really rooted in the self-belief. Well, not self-belief, but, like, belief that I'm completely in the right place, and I really do believe I will 100% be with an aligned partner. But then there is also the other side of my brain, which I think everyone has, that is like, oh my God, what if you never meet the right person?
Mm-hmm.
Like, what if you never actually meet the person that you are like dying to meet, basically? Mm-hmm. Like, I literally like will sit there and daydream about my partner who I want to be with, and like try and sit in the love and really feel it in my life, because I value that so much, like mm-hmm. so much. And like, I've had toxic relationships, I've been in weird dynamics, I've been in relationships I'm just not quite sure about, and like I've fought to let go of those, do you know what I mean? Like, it's freaking hard. So like, I value that so much, and I just like so want to have a beautiful partnership. But I would definitely say like that's my fear sometimes. It's like, am I delusional?
No,
but I know it's not the truth, but that is like a fear that comes in of like, you know, like I think you gotta be careful who you listen to. And say if I went and listened to people with bad advice for too long, I would start thinking, oh my gosh, like I'm literally, like my standards are too high or something.
Mm. No, because there is that huge toss up of, are you going to settle for this kind of good enough person?
Mm.
Or are you going to be brave enough to let go of that for what you know exists?
Yeah.
But if you know that it's out there and you know it exists, it's because it is out there.
Exactly. And it's like your heart knows that. But yeah. I think it's convincing your brain or your mind sometimes. Because I think, yeah, if you have that whisper in your heart, like it's out there, then it is out there.
Yeah.
Because otherwise you wouldn't feel it, because you would just like feel something else and go for that, if that makes sense. Mm. So it's like your heart knows, but yeah, it's like convincing your mind sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe the energy of trying to convince other people, not convince, but you know, like stay in your truth.
Yes.
I had the fear, like, what if I'm just being avoidant?
Yeah.
Like, what if it's my patterns that I'm, you know, not settling, but what if I'm actually just being avoidant? What if no one is good enough?
Yeah, like, what if I, you know, when people say,
what
like,
if it's me?
Yeah, like, relationships aren't perfect and it takes so much work, and you're not just gonna, like, I do believe that you don't just like meet the perfect person, it's perfect. I think relationships take so much work, and that is a huge thing on my list, is that I want to meet someone that will really do the work with me, and obviously do the work themselves as well. But yeah, you know, people are like, oh, you don't just meet someone and it all falls into place, and then you're like, all right, okay. But it's like, you don't,
but sometimes you kind of do,
like, yeah, like, I believe you actually do. I think you meet someone and it feels right, and I just like, I've met amazing people in my life, but I don't think I've met someone where it's really clicked into place. And obviously that's not something I want, so.
But then I like to say, like, well, what is the difference between friendships? Because you don't think, oh my god, what if I never meet my best friend? And then you don't meet a girl and be like, we're gonna have to work on this. Like, you meet someone and you click, and then that's it, you're friends. And why shouldn't it be the same for love? It's because there's so much fear around it, and horror stories and trauma. And like, you get passed down all these stories from your mum and your sisters and your friends. What really is the difference between meeting the one romantically and finding your best friend?
Yeah, and I think as well, like, for women especially, like, there's timeline pressure, and so I think that can make people like, all right, okay, I'll just take good enough rather than like well said. But at the same time, I like, there is not saying that I don't believe in your vision, I absolutely do, but as in, at the same time, there is so many things we can do in our own brains that are like complete, because I'm speaking on myself here, complete like I don't know how to, what would you call it? Like,
defense mechanisms.
Yes, and like, you could call it like, oh, they're not what I'm looking for. Or that's just when you have to know yourself, and I don't think you're doing that at all.
No, I don't think you
I'm speaking
like that's
to
like a different
thing. And that's when I'm like speaking here to like other people that maybe are in that situation. They relate like your own emotional unavailability,
yeah,
your fear of like opening yourself to somebody or like getting emotional, being vulnerable, or just because when you step into anything with anyone, like you're open to rejection there and heartbreak, mm-hmm. and pain. And sometimes if you, depending on why, like there's so many reasons why you might fear that, but you could be like given all the, oh, it's because they're not the one, they're not the vision that I have, mm-hmm. they're meant to be like this and this is, and then sometimes I think you can let a good thing go because of that. But I'm not saying that that's you, I'm just talking here on a different thing. That's like another whole layer of it, mm-hmm. like there's so much. That's why I think you've got to really know yourself, like yeah. you've got to take that time in your 20s to really get to know yourself, because how the fuck are you even going to be able to discern between all these different bits of advice of what is true for me? Because what I'm saying right now is not true for some of the listeners, and what you're saying is not true for them, but then some of it is. And then what Lacey's saying, like you have to know yourself so well to be able to sit here and listen to a podcast or read a book, mm-hmm. or listen to your friend or another friend and then just be like, do you know what, that doesn't actually resonate, like that is in. You need to know yourself to know.
Exactly. It comes down to the same point as before. Trust yourself.
Yeah.
If you've got a feeling inside about what it is that you should be doing as a career, or whether a person is right for you, or whether there might be someone else out there that is the right one for you, trust yourself. Like that voice is there for a reason.
Facts, mate. Facts.
It's that intuition. Yeah. It's the difference between like intuition and fears,
yeah,
and fear-based beliefs. But mm-hmm. if you can feel an instinct and intuition, it's always going to be right.
Yeah. Well, thanks for voicing your fear, Abby. I feel like a lot of people will be thinking the same thing, but also like, you know, you're 26, you've only walked on this earth for 26 years, and for like what, like most of those years you're a little kid. So like, as in the thing about how much time we've still got to,
I know, but then
for
so
those things to cross you,
if you do spend, if you do spend 2-3 years in a relationship and you break up with someone when you're 26 or 27, you think, oh shit, like I'm 27 now, like I have to do it all again. And it is, you do start freaking out, and as you get older you think, oh, maybe I am running out of time.
Yeah,
that's,
You've got to trust your journey.
Yeah, it's just divine timing. You just learn so much as well, don't you?
Yeah,
exactly. And going, that's that thing that I like to believe about, like the pre-agreed lessons that you agree to have when you come here.
Oh yeah,
like kind of like the, you know, like so you can have real acceptance with your journey. Like, like for me in my life, career purpose, no problem. I've always been so clear.
You always knew that you wanted.
So clear, and that's, you know, and that's. That's my journey. But then in other things, like relationships, things like that, I found that really, really hard. And that's one of the things that I've had to be work on and go to therapy and like dissecting myself and like understand about myself. That's never been clear for me. Like,
but weirdly enough, all that's true, but you were always the one that would say, every time I had a problem, you would always say to me, no, I really believe there's a perfect person out there for everyone.
Yeah.
And I used to think, yeah, but like, I'm going through trouble with this guy and this guy and this guy, and like, none of it's perfect. There's no such thing as perfect. And you would always say, like, I really do believe there is a perfect person out there for everyone, despite having like your own blocks.
Yeah.
Like, you still,
yeah,
because
I would never,
deep down, you believe
that.
I
would never want to project my own shit on someone else.
Yeah.
That's the other thing with like dating and stuff. You've got to like, watch you taking tips from.
Oh, God, yeah.
Because it's like, if your mate's got a car crash of a dating life, you wouldn't go and ask if you... No. Lacey's pointing herself right now. No, I'm not talking about that. But like, you know, like just... Or whatever, like, as in, you wouldn't go and take business advice from someone who bankrupted themselves
exactly,
like a million
yeah.
times. Like, as in, you know, like just... I don't know, there's but I think with dating, there's a lot of, but even online, there's a lot of unhealed advice out there. Like,
oh, yeah.
And there's so much of this confusing shit, like, if he wanted to, he would. And like, do this in your feminine energy to do this. And then manifest to make him obsessed with you. All this mad shit that's on TikTok that people are listening to. And it's like, fucking hell, like some of this is not good.
Yeah.
And like Why Men Love Bitches, that book, toxic as fuck. Like, you know, so it's like, you've got to know yourself in your 20s as well. You've got to
be,
trust yourself. And I think everyone's situation is different as well. Like, you can't blanket like relationship stuff.
Yeah.
To everyone, obviously you can with some things, but like you said, you just kind of know
deep down, you know.
Yeah,
and be careful too, like what you identify yourself with, because you should say,
yeah,
you used to do that.
I used to do what?
Like, because you said career and everything you're fine with,
yeah,
but love and relationship you struggle with. Well, mate, I used to, yes.
But yeah, I feel like
I have. Think about how many times you told yourself that.
Yeah, I know. But did I say I used to, or did I not say I used to just then?
I don't actually know what you said.
I feel in my, I feel like I have left that
identity. Yeah, you have, that's what I mean.
Otherwise, I wouldn't be able to vocalise it. I wouldn't be able to talk about it. Because I wouldn't have clarity on it to be able to, like, and it would feel way too raw to, like, even say that. So, yeah, I feel as though I have left that behind.
But no, as in, I like, you have.
Because I think when you can vocalise something, like, you've moved past it.
You've learnt from that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what's your... You didn't just say one then, did you?
No.
Another thing that I... Well, I haven't even voiced any of my fears yet, really. But, I mean, one of my fears of my 20s is, like, one of the things I worry about, anyway, in my 20s. Because, obviously, like, when you're in your 20s, you're, like, building your life.
Mm.
You're either, like, finding the career that you want to do, you're climbing up the ladder, you're building a business, you're doing something, or, like, maybe you're going traveling or whatever. Like, you're in a bit of, a building phase. It's not the time, really, when you're, like... money bags and secure, and you know, people are always like, oh, your 30s is so much better, don't fear it, you've got so much more money and blah 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 and these other things. Like, your 20s, you're usually like pulling your life together. So I think sometimes I get like a fear in the back of my head that I won't, when will I have my life completely pulled together, that I'm like completely stable and self-sufficient and independent.
Mm-hmm. And I think the danger is the people, this is like a blanket statement, but some of the people that are self-sufficient by now are the people that have gone down the safe route.
Yeah, this is the thing, yeah.
And when you go down the kind of the self-employed route and following your passion, it might take a little bit longer until you are completely self-sufficient.
Yes, it's because it's a bit more volatile. Yeah, and it's a risk. Yeah, and it's a bit like that short-term pain and uncomfortableness for like a long-term gain of like happiness.
More freedom,
happy and more free and potentially earn more anyway, like... But yeah, that's so true, because obviously you can rock up straight out of school, get a job, secure a job, month by month income, get a mortgage, buy a gaff. I don't want to do that. Like, that's the thing. No. I don't want to do that. If someone gave me like money now and said, here, go and buy a house, I wouldn't know where to go and buy a house. I don't know. I don't know where I want to live. All I know is that I love what I'm doing in my job so much, and I'm so passionate about it, and I jump out of bed every fucking day to go and do it. And it's working and it's growing and I'm building it. And that's my focus. And then from there, I think that would give me options of like, you get more clarity about where it is that you want to position yourself or place yourself or whatever. But I think sometimes, I don't know, when you're in your 20s, like I don't think I actually really compare myself to other people that are like more stable or whatever. But because actually all my mates are in the kind of same position, because you two are in it with me. But like, you two are like self-employed as well. Like, you understand that, like that especially the kind of volatile nature of the start of a company. And I guess like it's just that sometimes you're like, because you can't see where it is that you want to go yet, that you're like, when will that happen?
You just have to kind of trust it.
You have to just trust your life,
building on your thing. Eventually you'll be making enough to pay all your own bills without relying on anyone else.
And I think I think at the end of the day, if you're waking up every day and pursuing what it is that you care about and you're passionate about and you're interested in at full pelt and you are putting in the work, then you know, fortune favors the brave, like you'll get there. But that doesn't mean that fear doesn't stop like coming into your consciousness.
Yeah, for sure.
And there probably never will be like that breaking point of being like, no, that's the thing. Like,
yeah, because people that are really rich are like, then they've got to stay really rich.
You
become a millionaire, you've got to stay a millionaire. You don't want to come back down. So I actually think it's probably a little bit of an illusion as well.
Yeah, no, I think it is, because you're never really going to quite get there. But it's like, you've got to aim for it. But it's like you said, you wake up every day, you're passionate, you put in the work, like that's all you can do.
Mm-hmm.
And then it'll probably just, I mean, you're always going to get close to it.
Yeah.
But there'll never be like that point of like, oh, right, this is what it feels like.
Yeah, exactly.
Until you've literally bought your house, paid off your house, retired, and you've got a pension.
So you're in your coffin.
Oh, I'm good now.
Yeah, literally. So there's always going to be such an illusion.
There's always going to be something, some kind of bill,
Something
to keep up with, and that's just life.
Yeah. And I think not to talk about the economy or anything like that, because that's so boring. But like, as in, I think for people in their 20s at the minute, they could get a bit like anxious and maybe a bit like...
I don't listen to any of the news. I just don't want that in my consciousness.
Yeah, like get out. No negativity. Yeah. Bye.
I'm like, what?
Good vibes only.
I don't even know what cost of living crisis means.
Yeah, but like all that stuff that's going on as well, I think it can probably depress some people as well, because like, oh, fuck. It's not depressing me because I'm choosing not to look at it, but as in like that's, there will be people that are
it's a massive freaking fear,
it's just another it's just like
thing
another,
hanging over everyone, so you feel it.
Yeah, find your feet on politics.
That's the last thing we would ever talk about.
Okay, Lacey, share with us another one of your fears in your 20s.
I think, again, it's like another retrospective one of like a fear that I used to have, but that I've got to a point where I can say I've like, I'm not scared of that anymore. I think growing up as a teenage girl, it's rare that you're completely happy in your own skin. I definitely wasn't. I was super insecure, always trying to figure out ways to be thinner, felt really anxious about food, had like just felt like food was always a battle. I didn't understand exercise, nutrition, and I think a fear was, do I feel like this forever? Like, is it this hard forever? But now I can say that I'm at a place where I'm completely at peace with my body, with food. I know how to exercise. I know how to fuel myself. So that's not an issue in my life. I don't worry about pictures. I don't worry about getting in a bikini anymore. And it took like 10 years of like studying this stuff and implementing it to get to a point where I feel completely at peace in my own skin, even if I am bloated or whatever. But it's good to feel like I am there.
Yeah.
And to even be at a place where now, even if something was to happen and I was to gain weight, like say through, if I had to go on medication or through a pregnancy or something, I've built up to a place where I'm mentally strong enough now to know that that doesn't matter. Yeah. And I could still be at peace and be comfortable in my own skin.
Yeah, and I guess your job's a bit pressure as well, because like
you're
a PT coaching people how to be strong and fit, so like you will want to feel that in yourself, which obviously you do look that. I can see biceps right now.
Well, yeah.
Strong.
But I think I've also realised now that like I can change people's lives and it doesn't matter what I look like.
Yeah.
Because like right now I'm changing people's lives through a screen. They don't even see me. Obviously, I would want to be a good example for them, but also I could be not in the best shape, and I've still got the knowledge and wisdom now to help other women to get to a better place, even if I'm not perfect myself.
Yeah.
Because I trust in my methods and...
Yeah.
And again, just realising that there's so much more to it than just what you look like or how much you weigh. It's all about how you're feeling and your health, and it's all mental.
Yeah, that's like what I was going to say, like you're so much more than what you look like. And as well, I feel like that one's so important, because that's the one that I think gets so many girls when you're growing up, and it's like the biggest internal battle that could like run your whole life. And it's all internal if you actually think about it, because it's nothing in the physical world, like it's all in your mind, but it can get on top of you, and you can wake up every day and hold yourself back and beat yourself up, and like obviously people go through things that make you that way, whether it's like bullying or just things in your childhood. But I think turning that around is so incredible. Like, you should be so proud of that, because you really can just be trapped your whole life and then have other girls maybe looking at you thinking, oh my God, she looks amazing. Yeah. And then that other person's actually trapped in their own mind.
And I think as girls, none of us realise that we're all doing it. Like, we're all in our heads thinking about our bodies, worrying about food, worrying about our weight. And you don't realise that everyone else is doing it as well. But the amount of DMs that I get, like, everyone is feeling the same. And it's just from, like, pressures of, like, the media and everything, and, like, so much, like, conditioning over the years. I even have women that are, like, 40, 45, 50, like, messaging me with the fears that I was having when I was, like, 12, 13, 14. Like, if you don't deal with it and learn this stuff and overcome it, you will stay stuck in those thought patterns for your whole life and waste your life just unhappy and worrying about, like, how you look.
I think sometimes actually the women that are like 40, 45 sometimes have it worse, like a worse mindset, because they grew up in a slightly more toxic diet culture than we did.
Yeah.
I don't know about...
I think it was a lot more toxic. Yeah. Well, actually, no, sorry. Ours was quite toxic growing up. I feel like now it's a lot better than it was when we grew up. And when our mums grew up, it was awful, I think.
Yeah. Like, extremely thin.
Yeah, and just, like, all the messages and everything, you know, like, special K diet, special, you know, just, like, diet, all yeah. really,
like... Atkins diet, stuff like
yeah,
that.
It yeah, it was kind of got nothing.
We just about missed that.
Yeah.
Yeah, we got, like, tabloidy stuff. I feel like they just got it from all angles, really. Mm. Like, you were just meant to be a slim wife. That's what you were meant to be.
Yeah.
And just do your job and you're slim.
Mm.
Like, and it's so, in my mom, it's so deep. So deep. Yeah. I don't think she'll ever get rid of it.
Yeah, which is sad.
Mm. So my last fear that I'm going to share with you all today, which I think is a really common one, is the fear that I'm running out of time. Mm. And in, like, various things, like, I don't just mean in, like, one area. I just mean, like, this fear. And I don't get it that much, but I think when it comes in on those days, you really feel it. Or I think it actually comes in a lot if you end up comparing yourself to people too much.
Yeah.
Because, like we said before, people are all at such different life stages. Like, someone you went to school with... some of them are literally married with kids. Like, one of my best friends has 3 kids. Like, and then you've got somebody else that's, like, living in a different country, living in a villa or whatever. And then you've got somebody that's got this massive business, or you've got somebody that just works at a coffee shop and has the most peaceful life and just has... And everyone's at such different stages. And I think it's really good to get inspired by what the people are doing. But then I think you can very easily go down the route thinking, oh my God, well, I'm running out of time. Like, or, like, this, like, hustle culture of, like, you always want to be improving. So, like, well, why have I not done anything to get me closer to that goal today? I'm running out of time, running out of time. And I would just say that is a big fear for me of, like, what may even hold me back on acting on some things is, like, oh, I feel like I've missed the boat a bit on that. Like, mm-hmm. as in, I'm running out of time. But it is such an illusion, because I don't think you're ever really running out of time. Like, everything is in divine timing. And I think time does move a lot slower than we actually think.
Yeah, I feel
like it. It feels like it moves quick. It feels like running out of time. But you're not running out of time. I know people that have started new hobbies, new careers in the 40s, 50s. Like, you're never, ever really running out of time. But I think even, I mean, I always say this, but it's so true that society is built on making you feel like you run out of time. Mm. Like, that's just part of economy. It's like, push that idea that you're running out of time, make them act faster, make them buy the things, make them want to feel younger because you're running out of time. So it's like pulling back the layers and just reminding yourself that you're not running out of time.
Because it is like a scarcity mindset, like, yeah. that I'm running out of time. When it, like, life is short, but life is also really long.
Yeah.
So either way, that's why it's important that you do what makes you happy.
Mm-hmm.
Because life's too short to not do what makes you happy, but also you life is long, yeah, so you should be doing something that makes you happy.
Mm-hmm.
Did that make sense?
Yeah, that makes sense.
So much sense.
Did you say you want to talk, though, about time? You said you find your birthday.
I was just going to say, like, I find birthdays really, like, triggering, because it reminds me that I'm getting 1 year older and I'm running out of time. And I think, am I where I wanted to be by now? Like, last year was a bad birthday because I wasn't in the right place.
You texted me and I was
I was like, Grace, it's my birthday and I'm crying. And she was like, please just try and have a nice night. Like, you've got something really nice planned. I was just like, I'm so upset. Like, I'm not ready to be 26. I'm not where I should be by now. Because a birthday to me is like another year's gone, and if I'm not in the right place and I freak out, but hopefully by my next birthday I'll be like, okay, I'm back in a good place.
I think it's like, I think your birthdays are not enjoyable on when you're in those periods where you're out of alignment.
Yeah,
you're not listening to yourself and like your truth, because I think when you're like fully immersed in that and like in your truth, you're like fully immersed in what it is inside of you that's important and what you should be doing. So for you, PTing, for me it's working for myself and trying shit on a podcast and just like doing things that I do. And like, you know, when you're fully immersed into what you're doing, you stop comparing yourself to other people anyway, and maybe the timeline of where society says you should be at 26, 27, 28, 29, or all these different things. So I think your birthdays as well are harder when you're not aligned with where you deep down want to be, not based on like, oh, society says I should be have this amount of money in my bank, or have this house, or be doing whatever,
or where you expected that you would be by this age,
or like you should be married, you should be in a serious relationship, and or anything like that, like you know.
That's why I always have breakups near my birthday.
Is it really?
Yeah, I've had like 2 big breakups near my birthday, because it's New Year, so you were thinking life anyway. And then, yeah, it's your birthday. So I'm not just saying, like, I wait for my birthday. But, but yeah, it does. It makes you think, like, where am I in life? What's true for me? What do I need in my life? What do I not want?
Do you wait till you get the present first? And then
No, they've all actually been before. It's actually been more New Year. New Year.
New Year.
More near New Year to straight after New Year. But it does make sense, though, because I think you do, on your birthday, you think about where you're at.
Yeah, you do. Your milestone. And if everyone else is celebrating you and you're like, please stop celebrating me, I'm not good right now. I think that's just me deflecting.
Well, I hope you enjoy your 27th.
I think my 27th will be a good one.
Yeah, I think you'll enjoy it.
There's still, what, like 7 months, so anything could happen.
Yeah, I think you'll enjoy it. But it's nice, though, on your birthday, though, when you do feel proud. Because you do have that little reflection moment. Like, I remember on my 26th birthday, and I was thinking about my 25th. And on my 25th, I was fucked up. I was like, as in not my, like, my life was fucked up, but as in I was mentally...
not in a good place.
I was, yeah.
You weren't even there. I, like, got you a cake and stuff, and it was like looking into, like, nothing.
Oh, mate.
Into the abyss. It's disgusting. I was like, hello.
It's horrible. I remember seeing a picture of you, and I was like, where's Grace?
Yeah, no. There's pictures of me and my little brother out for my birthday meal, and I'm dead behind the eyes. There's nothing there.
Yeah.
It was horrible. But that's... wasn't because of, like, my life was falling apart. It was because I was in emotional turmoil. and had been deeply triggered. But
then when you're in a good place, your birthday is, like, so much fun.
Yeah, it's such a good birthday this time.
Yeah.
You should just celebrate, like, the life you've got.
Yes. Yeah, so when it came to 26, I was like, oh my God, I'm so proud of myself for being in a completely different mental state than I am last year. I'm so grateful to be in a different place. Like, so, you know, it's, yes, even if you have a shit one, sometimes it's good because the next year can
pushes
be,
you to next year can be a good one.
So I haven't said my second fear, but that's because 2023 is the year of facing my fears, and I've been going hard already. Haven't I, girls? Don't tell them what I've been doing, but haven't I?
It's not even the end of January yet, and you are an overachiever.
Yeah.
I was telling them what all my goals were to keep me accountable. Because, you know, I would tell everyone on these podcasts to do that. Tell your friends what you're doing. Stay accountable to your goals. And yes, I have been overachieving on my goals.
Yeah.
But, like, this is the thing. You sit here and have all these fears in your 20s, and we voiced out a lot of them, and, like, hopefully they make you guys feel better. But, like, they're only a fear if they stay there as a fear. And I'm not, like, saying that in rushing anyone to, like, push through to change. Because I know, especially for myself, like, you can't do that. Like, yes, show up every day to your own healing and, like, your own development, your own work and your own mess. But, like, at the end of the day, you're on your path. Like, you're going to find your moments of clarity when you do, when you're meant to. And, like, you can't control or, like, force or rush that. You've got to integrate what you're learning along the way, as long as you just keep showing up for yourself. Like, you'll get there. So if anyone listening now that's got, like, deep fears, and you're like, oh, fuck, I need to, like, face them now and change them all. You know, just commit to doing it, like, a little bit every day, and, like, it chips away a little bit. But basically, I would have sat here probably, like, a month or 2 months ago and told you, like, way more fears that I had for my life. But my promise to myself this year was to stand in front of that and just say no. Like, I'm walking past that. And I'm, because nothing changes, if nothing changes, then I'm like, I'm all about the action this year. Mm-hmm. I'm all about feel the fear and do it anyway. All about imposter syndrome, goodbye.
Yeah, you're all about facing fears. I'm all about trusting myself. I had it in my head all year last year and I never did it.
Mm-hmm.
And now I really am committed to doing it, and it feels a lot better.
Yeah, and I can even see that already in, like, the things that you, the little choices you're making, that you are really trusting yourself and doing things that are scary, that you've required to be brave, but it's because you're listening inside to what your intuition is telling you should do, and that's always the right thing.
Mm-hmm, for sure.
Yeah.
So what's mine?
What's your thing for the year?
Yeah, I don't know what it is.
Being a baddie.
Yeah, I think that's all it is. I think it's just, like, being in the vibes.
Yeah.
Just taking it slow.
Being chiller.
Because I feel like, last year I feel like I was pushing into that, trusting myself. And I feel like that's obviously a lifelong journey. I'm definitely going to continue that this year.
Yeah.
And facing into my fears, actually. But yeah, well, I don't know what my actual one would be. Mm-hmm. A mixture of yours too.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they're two pretty big things.
Yeah, they are. So.
Well, Lacey, thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me, and please can I come back soon?
Yeah, come back anytime. Yeah. Thank you for being on the pod. Let us know if you guys enjoyed this.
Drop a comment and ask for what you would want us to talk about next time.
And do you want to share with everyone where they can find you?
Yes, if
they
want to become
a confident young lady.
So for all my online coaching designed to transform your body, tone and sculpt your physique through fitness and psychology, find me at Lacey French. I'm sure you'll tag me in this or whatever.
Yeah. We'll be tagging Instagram. You in the show notes.
Drop me a DM and we'll chat.
Yeah, you guys will not regret it.
That was a shameless plug.
Plug away.
We love a plug.
Thanks, guys. We'll see you next week.
Bye.
Bye.